say amen. All right, we're teaching on spiritual warfare again, volume 2, and this is facing the giants. Hold on just a minute. I'd like to get something that I wrote down here. Okay. Here, okay, I see it. All right, this that we're talking about again, I was brought up a little bit differently. I was brought up, I was Baptist first, then I was spirit filled, and then I was Pentecostal holiness, and then I was something else, and then I'm what I am today. So I'm a mixture of everything. So, but the foundation really laid in my life when a man was teaching on the kingdom. And I hadn't heard that. When I was a young kid, mom took me to church and Baptist church and so forth. But they didn't preach anything about that. I didn't know anything about a kingdom. But this is basically why you and I are here. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And we're here to colonize the earth. We're here to bring a new culture to the earth. Adam was to take the culture of the Garden of Eden and spread it throughout the world. A culture is a manner of life. It's the way people live. It's what's considered a society's norm. But he sinned. And because he sinned, now he's got the wrong innards. He's got a dead spirit in him. And so now, as he put out of the garden, now Satan is using him to create his culture. So now we are born again. Jesus came to reintroduce the kingdom, same one that was in the garden, reintroduce it. And he said, first, repent. And the reason why he said repent is because the kingdom of God takes a complete mental reversal from the way society has trained us. And for you to get the best out of it, you're going to have to shift your thinking. And because the way in a society, the way you go broke is to give. In the kingdom, the way you increase is to give. Are you with me here? In society, the way you get back at somebody is revenge. In the kingdom, the way you get back at somebody is to love them. So it takes a complete, and it takes a while to get there because the flesh got to die. I heard an amen over there somewhere. Yeah, it's got to die. So that's the time that you're learning this. You, every day, asking God forgiveness. Why? Because repentance is just not one act. You repent over and over and over again because of you going your own way in something. And as soon as you discover that, then you repent again, meaning that now the bulk of the repentance, of course, is to be born again. Now, once that happens, you and I repent, then Christ comes in us to live in us. And as he comes to live in us, he's living actually through us. Say amen to that. So we become his arms, his legs, his mouthpiece. We become, you know, his contact with the world. So out of that, we let him love them through us. Isn't that wonderful? We let him love them through us. So now to do that, you're going to have to give way. Okay. Now, and don't think you're going to lose, because that's what we want to accomplish, that you're not going to lose. You're going to win, and you're going to win every battle. Glory to God. I like that. Win every battle. All right. Get myself straight here, see where I am. All right, so let's look at Ephesians. And just see what we have. I'll start verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, let's just stop right there. Because I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you look at Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, let us therefore fear, verse 1, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into what? Rest. So, what happens? I teach you the word or preach. Then when I preached, you take the word, and the word becomes alive in you, called revelation. And revelation brings you to belief or confidence in the word that you just heard, which yields faith. Now, let me see, can I get this to you? Faith, once you arrive at it, you enter into a rest. If you're anxious, you're not there yet. And once you enter into a rest, the battle changes hands. Now, this is key. This is why the enemy doesn't want you to have faith. Because if you don't have it, you'll try to fight the battle in your own strength. And over in Exodus, where we're really going, but Exodus chapter 14, he says in verse 14, the Lord shall what? Fight for you. And what will you do? You're going to hold your what? Your peace. Let's look at 2 Chronicles and chapter 20. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he says this in verse 17. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and what? See the salvation of the Lord with you. And what he is saying in verse 15, if you go up there. And he said, hearken ye, O Judah, and all inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now I can go on through here. But what you're doing is you're entering into his rest by faith. Let's go to the New Testament. Let's just go over there. Mark chapter 4. Over in Mark chapter 4, here's where Jesus told him, let's go to the other side. And verse 35, and the same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, it was now full. And he was in the hind part of the ship asleep in a pillow. And they awake him and they said to him, what? Don't you care that we're about to die? Now I'm putting it in my own words. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and it was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no what? Faith. Faith. So what was going to get them to the other side? Faith. So your problem is not money. And if you ever think it's money, then you have been caught up. But the issue is faith. Glory to God. Because God has already provided for you. Are you with me here? Now, this is interesting because he is saying, how come it is that you have no faith? So faith shifts the battle to God, on God himself. Faith shifts the battle. Now I want to really drive this in. Why? Because where we're going is big stuff. So you cannot think small. You're going to have to think big. Now, has it been already paid for? Absolutely it has. But faith is the way God transfers it into your hands. And without it, you can't do it. Look at Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6. Now, what is Daniel doing now? Because of this, Daniel is now being raised up. Kleenex. He's now being raised up, and he is basically, I almost said tall hog at the trough. He is now the one being in charge of everybody, but to the dislikes of his cohorts, the other managers, the other leaders. And so now they're going to trap him. They say, we got to get him out of the system. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to make a law against his God. Now, watch it. If he bows down and obeys that law that's against his God, then he has left his God. So now he can't get the strength of his God. So what is he going to do? So after the law was signed, let's pick up at verse 8. Daniel 6 and 8. Now the king established the decree and signing in the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which what? Altereth not. So it couldn't be changed. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Next verse. Now you got to underline when. Because when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, he opened his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, what did he do? He knew that this act would have called for the death penalty. But he also knew something else. This hour that we're living in, there is something that is available to God's people called the vengeance of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Here we go now. Now, with this vengeance, whatever is resisting God's plan for your life, God is now the vengeance of God is available to ensure your success. Now, I want you to see this, because God is a God of love, but he's got to get Israel out of Egypt because he promised it to Abraham. On a certain day, Israel would be delivered. Now, here comes the day. But what was Pharaoh's attitude? I ain't having that. They are my economic system. And as long as I can keep them in slavery, I can make some money. So he kept them in slavery. But God said, it's time for them to go. But did Pharaoh want to let them go? So the vengeance of God has nothing to do with revenge. It has everything to do with justice. That the plan of God, of what God spoke, must be carried out. Say amen to this. And so what happened? Here comes Pharaoh. Moses said, let him go. Pharaoh said, no. What happened? Here comes lice. Here comes hail and destroy the crop. Now each time it's the judgment of God, not because God hates men, people, but he's in love. He has to keep his word. And he has a people that has to fulfill his plan. Are you following what I'm saying? And I'm saying it's the necessity of punishing offenders, and it proceeds from a love of justice. God is a God of justice. Say amen to that. God is not fair. God is just. So now here comes all these plagues, but Pharaoh still won't let them go. So what happens now? Here, he finally lets him go. Thank God for that. But he makes one mistake. He goes after him. Why? To put him back in bondage. So what has to happen to him? He has to be eliminated. It's not because God hates Pharaoh. It's because God loves justice. If his word is out, he's there to make sure his word comes to pass. And I'm telling you, if his plan has been written for your life, he's there to make sure that the plan that he has for your life comes to pass. Now, vengeance is not automatic. Like anything else, there is a prophetic agenda of God that Jesus is coming back, and no matter who tried to block it, it's going to happen. But then there's an individual basis that God is working on your behalf, and that vengeance is available. And what I put down here, glory to God, in my notes, is that we're coming to the end of time. And because we're coming to the, y'all still tuned in with to me? To the end of time, look at Revelation 12:12. Just put it up on the board, please. In Revelation 12:12, he says this, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you having what? Great wrath, because he knows that what? He has but a short time. See, the enemy is really mad at you. He knows he's got but a short time, and he's really coming to stop your plan. Why? Because if you achieve your plan, then the kingdom is advanced. Are you following what I'm saying? And now look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Now he's talking about, again, the last days. Now you know also that in the last days, what's going to come? Perilous times shall come. Put it up there in the Living Bible translation just to see if there's another degree of understanding that we can get. Should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. The enemy will be on the warpath, and he's out to stop you. So I put a statement down here. Watch it now, because it's live. In these last days, it will come to pass that it's impossible to fulfill a person's destiny without vengeance. Now, I'm only saying this to say that God's got to be involved in it. Because what is happening with anything in the Bible, unless you teach it, the church has no faith to activate it or to receive it. You don't have faith. Somebody's got to teach this. Look what it says. Put it up on the board. You don't need to turn to it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. I'll just read that. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Now watch this. He said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then how shall they call on him whom they've not what? Believed. And how shall they believe on him whom they've not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a who? Preacher. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings and good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. Now the way you're going to shift the battle is by faith. And faith comes how? So you're going to hear the word regarding the fact of God's justice system acting on your behalf, and now fall into faith. Now how can you fall into faith? You got to act on it. What did Daniel do? When the writing was signed, he went up on purpose. Open the windows. He's acting by faith now, because faith is going to now activate the vengeance of God. Say amen. See, he can't make it by himself. He's got to shift the battle to God. And the battle is not ours, but whose is it? It's God. And Moses had to shift the battle. God said, wait a minute. He said, the battle is not yours, it's mine. He said, stretch your stick out over the water. Boom. Then he got on the other side and said, now stretch it out again. It closed back up. But it closed back up on all the soldiers. God is not in the business of killing folk. So in Ezekiel, he says, in Ezekiel chapter, glory to God, help me, Holy Ghost. He said in Ezekiel chapter 30, say amen. Amen. Chapter 33 and verse 11. Praise God. You're with me. Stay with me now. He said this, say unto them as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked should what? Turn from his way and live. And that's what God is saying. He is not saying I'm coming here to kill Pharaoh, but Pharaoh got to turn from his wickedness. Because if he's trying to block my people doing what I planned for them to do in these last days, because all of a sudden the demons that are operating through him are upset because they know their time is short and they gonna use him. He better watch it, because I got to get my plan out, because if I don't, then my word will be come back without doing what it said. And that is not gonna happen. I'm telling you right now, you have been called for the last days. You are in perilous times. Come on now. The devil is busy now because he knows his time is short, and he zeroed in on people who should have had buildings by now, who should have had nurseries by now, who should, I'm saying he has stopped the progress, but today. You got to hear what I'm saying. When the writing was signed. It's very important. You got to look at the attitude of that. And what changed his attitude? He had to know that he was not committing suicide. He had to know God was going to deliver him. And I'm telling you, this hasn't been preached. And because of it, the church has been held back, and the wicked still got the money, and the church is trying to pay their bills. That's about to change. God is not mad at anybody, because God so loved the world that he what? Gave. So he's trying to save people. But he cannot stop the plan of God. He's got this plan that's got to go forward, folks. How many people are out there right now suffering, miserable, crying every night? Look at ISIS. Look at, I'm talking about, look at what's happening. And I'm telling you, if somebody knows that they can go in the middle of this mess and the devil can't touch them, it changes their whole attitude about serving God. Oh, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. If you knew that you could not fail, change the whole attitude. Right? You're willing to do anything. And I'm telling you, you couldn't do this without a different attitude. He knew something you didn't know. And the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a, it didn't say you didn't have knowledge. It said you don't have enough. Sister Gloria Copeland said, this lady came to her and said, Sister Gloria, you know, I'm trying to get this thing to work in my life and this word, I mean, I'm just doing all I know to do. She said, do you know my problem? She said, yep. You don't know enough. Because this word works. Come on, saints. I'm talking about whatever business you have, no more failing. Now, understand, you got to shift the what? You got to shift the battle. Can't do it in your own strength. You got to know that those are giants out there. And let's look at what he said about him. He said, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Let's look at that really quick. Isn't this good?
Yes.
This is it, folks.
Yes.
You know you got to know something for the man to tell you you're about to be thrown in a fire. And you tell the man, the God that I serve, he will deliver me. You see, people think they'll say a lot of stuff till they get in stuff. You know what I'm saying? And when they get in it, see, they know then what they believe, because it's out of the abundance of your heart. What's going to happen? Your mouth going to speak. Now, you follow what I'm saying? So you're going to find out what you believe when you get in that tight place. Are y'all with me here?
Yes, sir.
So I'm just saying, a lot of times you wonder why people won't vocally say things out and so forth, because they don't believe it yet. But believing makes you one with whatever you believe. You'll always, you, whatever you believe, you become.
Amen.
That's when you believe it. Peter said, Lord, we'll never leave you. Guaranteed we'll never leave. And what happened? The lady come along and say, hey, weren't you with them? Nope. And then the man comes along. Now here's another chance. Man comes along and said, You're Galileans, huh? You know what, you were with him. He said, no, I just told the lady I wasn't with him. And then another man comes along and tells him he was with him, and he starts swearing and cussing and carrying on. Just terrible. Man. So I'm telling you, I remember my mechanical drawing instructor in high school. He used to tell me, he said, William, let me ask you something. What would you do if you were in a forest and a bear jumped down out of a tree right behind you? And you had a gun. I said, I'd turn around and shoot him. He said, I guarantee you, you don't know what you do. I believe he was wrong. I'd strike out and go out of here. Then I'd turn around after I get him. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So let's look at the rest of that. Put it up there on the board. When the Lord thy God shall bring you in the land which you go and possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Seven nations, what? Are you following what I'm saying? He's about to take you into a battle you cannot win. On purpose. On purpose. And he wants to show people who he is. And all of that. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 1. We're almost done. Woo! What time is it? Okay. Okay, all right. Joshua chapter 1. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
So, the kingdom of God is the most important message for the human race. And justice is a vital part of its manifestation. Verse 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From this wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the in the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not be what?
Amen.
Come on, say it louder.
Amen.
Able to do what? Stand before you. How long? As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And I will not what? Glory to God. Well, if we can just get that down in our system. Now, again, giants were supposed to make them feel inferior. Okay? See? And you can't do that. You can't feel inferior because somebody has more money than you. You can't feel inferior because they have more status, property, or you know, they're bigger in the company. And you can't feel inferior because they got more hair than you. Come on, I'm hitting you because that inferiority will take away your faith, because your faith takes righteousness. And if you are feeling inferior, it'll take away the righteousness, which'll take away your faith, which will take away the grace which you need to access vengeance. I'm going to say it one more time. Glory to God, I'm preaching good now. I said that if you feel inferior, that inferiority is akin to unrighteousness. And the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 5, I think it is, all unrighteousness is sin. So sin separates you from God. It doesn't draw you to God. And so the enemy comes to try to make you inferior, feel inferior, because inferiority brings you into a status of unrighteousness. And unrighteousness, glory to God, cannot produce faith. And faith has to be there to access grace. See, everything is a grace. Healing is a grace. Come on now, deliverance is a grace. Protection is a grace. Everything is a grace. And you got to access grace. Well, I tell you, Brother Creflo did a great job of preaching this thing. Look what it says over in Romans. Romans chapter, I'm coming back to Joshua here. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's just look at that one first. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
See, the idea is to look down on you. See? Because of something. Got more status, got more political influence, big in the company, making more money, driving a bigger car, got a big house, so forth. Idea is to look down on you, see? See? But greater is he that is in you than anybody that's in the world. The Bible says that we are seated together, what? With him, where? In heavenly places. So the truth is, if you were to really see the picture through the eyes of the Spirit, they're going to be looking up at you. You are to be an attraction for the world. And look what he says. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the what? Law. But through the what? Righteousness of faith. Verse 16, please. And look what he says. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to how many people? All the seed. Now, take that same verse, put it up in the Amplified, please. Glory to God. Isn't this good? Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of what? Faith. And depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace. Unmerited favor to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants. Let's just stop right there. That includes you. It's not your money that's going to get that. Come on now, I'm saying God will give you the money and so forth and so on. My point to you is, it's not how much you got in the bank. I have never seen God ask me to do something that all the money was in the bank. I'm talking about significant stepping ahead. Hey, it just ain't there. It ain't there. It's not there. But when I start stepping, money's coming. Say amen to them. Because you're trying to do it without faith. And that's off limits. Isn't this good?
Yes.
So, let's go back to Daniel before you go to Joshua and I'm quit. Look at Daniel. Are y'all getting something out of this?
Yes.
See, if I can talk you into being who you really are, then I'm telling you, you're going to be accessing stuff without you trying to access it. That just came to me by the Spirit of God. Self just going to show up at the house. Say, I didn't order this. I know somebody ordered it for you. Well, who did? There's no name on it. I don't know. I can't tell you who ordered. I've had that. But see, gifts come to royalty. Now, there's anybody, don't think because you're a certain color, you're a certain background and so forth, the enemy left you out and still not trying to look down on you. Don't think that. He's trying to look down on everybody. Why? Because that's the way he keeps you in check. That's one of his strong men. His strong men is to make you feel inferior. And if he can make you feel inferior, he can make you think small. And if he make you think small, you can't get big stuff. Because that stuff out there is giant stuff. I mean, you ever seen them giants? Look at the bedstead of this person out in Deuteronomy. The bed for this giant was 18 feet. I mean, he can't get in no small bathroom. He can't 18 feet. Can't get in your bathroom. You got to have a big bathroom with several, you know, nozzles on the shower. Can I help you? Okay, where did I tell you to go? I told you to go somewhere. Daniel. Okay, let's pick up where we left off with Daniel. Now, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute. Daniel, wow. Okay, what I was going to tell you about Joshua. I'm out of time. Now, here, let me just tell you this. Hold on. Let me just tell you this. In Daniel, let's just look and see what happened to the people that were trying to destroy him. Now, I just want you to say that because you don't fight it. Come on, the thing you do is walk in what? Love. You just walk in love. And when you do, faith worketh by love. So the battle just shifted. So God now is on the case. How he wants to deal with them is between him and them. You don't need to hate them not one time. The only thing you can do probably to help them out is say, you shouldn't have done that, praise God. Because I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to love you. You better come here so I can hug you, praise God. And I pray that you get protected. All right, now. Listen, this is how easy it is. Faith is not difficult. And it works for anybody. All right, so look. Verse 20 of Daniel chapter 6. Glory to God. Quickly. And the king commanded. And when the king commanded. When the king came to the den. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said, Daniel. O Daniel. Servant of the living God. Is your God whom you serve continually. Able to deliver you. From the lions. Now today. From the electric chair. Now, can I do that? Can I do that? Then Daniel said to the king, what? O king, live forever. That doesn't sound like a man that's been up all night drinking coffee, trying to, oh Lord, I sure hope God comes through. That doesn't sound like that, because if he did that, he would be in the category of fear. And fear would destroy his faith. And faith would prevent God from working for him. Because God needs faith to work on your behalf. Say, I'm going in. I'm going to possess my inheritance. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. That they have no hurt, not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Check it out. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed. You got it? See what I'm saying? Now look what it said next. Look what it said next. And the king commanded and brought those men. And they brought those men which had accused Daniel. And they what? Cast them into the den of lions. Come on. They're who? Children. Keep going. They're wives. Keep going. Turn to Genesis chapter 20. We're done. Genesis chapter 20. We'll have to pick up Joshua chapter 1 next time. Genesis chapter 20. So here's when Abimelech. So Abimelech is eyeballing. Can I use my terms? Can I talk? eyeballing Abraham's wife. So Abraham says, she's my sister. Oh, that's all Abimelech wanted. Boom, zeroed right in on her. Now, I don't think this was all Abimelech's idea. I think Satan was stimulating the imagination of Abimelech, because Satan knew now that a seed was coming out of that. And Satan was trying to contaminate the gene pool of the Messiah. So now, what do you think of this powerful stuff, man? I told you, God hit me. God hit me, folks. I won't even tell you how bad that old man was. I won't even go into it. But any man that is in Christ has become, come on, a new creature. Old things, come on. Old man is dead. The person who lives in here never did that. It's only the enemy trying to recall it to my mind. So I'm saying, in this particular case, Abimelech takes her into his house. Now watch the vengeance of God. Check it out, because Abraham's in the plan of God. Verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, and he said to him, you are but a dead man, for the woman that you have taken, she's another man's wife. And Abimelech said, wait a minute, Lord, hold. I haven't come near her. Now you get what I'm saying. Now watch this. So when you invoke by faith God's justice, Satan can't even touch your family. Now you got to see this now. He could not molest that woman. God said he held her back from him back from doing it. You ain't gonna touch my anointed. You do my prophets. No. Now watch this. And then, come on down to verse 7. Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a who? Prophet. And he shall pray for you, and thou shalt what?
Live.
Keep going. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die. And who else? Everybody that's around you, everybody that's even involved in this, everybody that's even in the same thinking that you are, all of them got to go. God does not play. Folks, when you know that God's justice is operating on your behalf, your whole attitude changes. You'll stand up against anybody, because you know they can't touch you.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, when the justice systems of the world fail, because the enemy comes after the justice system, because he can change the laws, he can make God's people start violating things and start making them back up and start feeling inferior and so forth and so on. But when those Bibles came out of them grade schools and those high schools and so forth, look what happened. And now you got all kinds of mess. You got this and that. My point to you is we are supposed to be here having dominion over this earth. And what? This is going to start being preached, and God's people about to rise up and get stronger than they are forever. And them laws that are made, watch them stand up and start acting real crazy. I ain't doing that. Why are you not doing it? Because my God says I don't need to do it. Now, I'm not saying just rebellious. I'm saying to obey God in what God tells you. Y'all got what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So in Joshua, he said, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Now, the Hittites are the only ones I'm mentioning here. Now, who are the Hittites? Spirits of fear, watch this, or spirits of terror.
Yes, sir.
Then notice what's rising today. Terror. Because that's what season we're in. The Joshua generation has just been born. And that's why this terrorism has taken a whole big turn. But watch this generation put a stop to it. Give God praise because we're about done here. Now put the scripture up there of Isaiah 43. Glory to God. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Isaiah 54 and verse 17. Glory to God. This is your scripture for memorization for next week. Praise God. I'm going to start giving y'all some homework. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and my righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 149, please. Now, in Psalm chapter 149, I want you to know that it's not people that's your problem. So don't ever think that. God wants you to love people. But what happens is Satan is now using the Gentiles or people who don't know God to resist you, to keep you from going and doing what God has called you to do. And God is dealing with Satan. Look what he says. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise the name of the Lord and let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the meek with salvation. Watch this now. Let the saints be joyful in glory, and let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. To do what? To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Now, don't take that literally, because you're not coming against people, but you're coming against the spirits that are driving the people. To bind their kings, there it is right there, with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron. So you can bind the strong man. You can bind that one in your neighborhood that's trying to run over. Come on now, and so forth. And to execute upon them this judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get something out of that tonight? Spiritual? Spiritual warfare. If you hear God spoken in your heart about being born again, praise God. Let me have the privilege of praying for you. Because once you come into the kingdom, all we talked about becomes yours. Whoever that is right now, you know that in your life is not where you should be.